Our Father, we thank you that our God is a wonderful God. And Father, I want to tell you this morning that I love you from the very depths of my heart. And Lord, I thank you for the way you've been ministering even to me over these times of blessed gatherings that we have been having. And Father, I just pray right now that the Spirit of God would descend upon us, that you would shut us in with yourself, that the enemy would gain no inroads into this gathering. But Father, right now we come against Satan in Jesus' name. And Father, we bless you. You've said whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. So we bind Satan in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, you tell us whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would loose the Spirit of God upon us. And that, Father, each of our hearts would be strangely warmed as we bask in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, hide your servant behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Joel, I have been blaming you for my lack of sleep last night. With the lovely pieces that we have been singing on the time of worship, I have so enjoyed the time of worship. Last night was precious. It was so special that I just can't put it into words how it affected me. And I was telling Debbie, I saw the clock every hour last night. And I wasn't singing outwardly, but I felt as if I was. And every time I woke, I was singing, I'm saved, saved, saved. And bless the Lord for the assurance that he has given me. And I trust that he has given you also, as he gave to a number of ladies here last night, that you're saved. Because God wants you to know it. And friends, you don't go by feeling. Because if I depended on my feeling, the truth of the matter is I wouldn't get out of my bed in the mornings. So friends, we need to depend on fact. And I was just having a little time with the Lord this morning, and this came to me. How to gain his gift. You gain it from trusting. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You gain it by talking. Harold told us this last night. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. And friends, you gain it from taking. As many as received him, to them give he the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I trust this morning that you're saved and that you know it. And if you don't, ladies, as we said last night, don't leave this place until you get right with God. Because none of us knows the day or hour. Jesus could break through the clouds, or death's angel could knock on our door. Now, that's not my message, Harold. I think we Irish ladies are taking a bit of a liberty here today. You're going to have to forgive us. There's a place in Ireland called Killarney. And they've got a stone there. And it's called the Blarney Stone. And if you kiss the Blarney Stone, they tell you you get the gift of the gab. Now, I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, but whenever we go down there, it's always full of Americans. And the way you do it is, there's running water coming down over the stone all the time. And you lie on your back and there's two big burly men and they hold you and you lie back and you kiss the stone. Did you ever hear such rubbish? Well, I never had to kiss the stone, but I've got the gift of the gab. Ladies, when Anne realized that there was something wrong, she wasn't falling pregnant as she had hoped. She went to the doctor. And as Anne and Robert went through the tests, and the doctors did all the medical checkups that they could think of to do, and it was pronounced that they had an inability to have children, I'm sure they were devastated. But yet, they had to go through that process to find out what their problem was. So they went for a medical checkup. Well, this morning, ladies, I want each one of us to go for a spiritual checkup. And we're going to visit the greatest physician of all. And we're going to use not the doctor's manual, but we're going to use the greatest manual that we'll ever have in this life. And there's lots of areas that needs to be checked up, but we're just going to check three areas this morning. And as we do so, I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to each of our hearts. And friends, whatever God the Lord says to you, do it. Do it. But the first area we are going to examine is the heart. We read in Jeremiah 17 and 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, the outward appearance and the inward are often contradictory to one another. All can appear well on the outside. But let us remember that the heart is deceitful. It's wayward. It's so deceitful, friends, that even we ourselves don't know it. There's many things that go on in the heart. Things that you wouldn't want anyone to know anything about. And maybe you're glad that no one can see. Jealousy. Pride. Spitefulness. Dishonesty. Lust. Greed. Well, do I need to go on? We read in the Word of God in 1 Samuel 16 and 7 that in this world there's two judgments. There's the judgment of man. Man looks on the outward appearance. Some of the ladies was admiring our shoes. They were admiring our skirts. They said, "We don't get skirts like that here in America." I told her I couldn't survive in America. I love my skirts. Man looks on the outward. That's the judgment of man. But there's the judgment of God. God looks on the heart. Man says reform, and God says repent. And God longs for our heart. Proverbs 23 and 26 says, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, if we give God our hearts, he will renew. Ezekiel 11 and 19 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. And verse 20 goes on to say, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinance and do them, and that they shall be my people and I be their God. Oh, for the presence of God in the heart. And ladies, it's very easy to come to a place like this and feel the presence of God. But the presence of God ought to be in our heart at all times. The presence of God ought to be in our hearts, in our home. The presence of God ought to be in our hearts when the children are having their arguments and their rows. The presence of God ought to rule in our heart at all times. Oh, that God might invade every crevice of our soul and heart, and that his light might shine upon those dark areas, and that every act and every deed of life, thought, feeling, motive might be exposed, and that God would reveal to us the things that we need to change. We read in Jeremiah 17 and 10 where it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. You know, it's a dangerous thing to ask God to search your heart, because God just might do it. And I remember as a very young Christian, you know, I really was a greenhorn. That's a saying in Ireland. It means you knew nothing. I didn't know the word, but I knew that I wanted God. Now I remember asking God to search my heart. Myself and Trevor was going through this exercise together. Search our heart and show us if there's anything within us that needs to be changed. And God says, well, yes, there is. And he showed me a man that I hadn't spoke to for 13 years over something very stupid when I was a teenager. You need to go to him. And I went. And then he showed us a time when my uncle had died and Trevor was given the responsibility of selling his car, and he got a check and he got £100 cash, and the £100 cash went in here and the check was handed over to the family. We had stole. So, being good Christians, we thought we'd make restitution, and we sent it away off to a missionary away out there somewhere in Africa. Oh, God says, that's not the way I want it done. Restitution means you go to the people you've wronged. And we had to go to our family and confess what we had done and offer to give the £100 the second time over. I, the Lord, search the heart. I wonder, would you take more care of your heart if everyone could see it? Because Hebrews 4 and 13 tells us, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Ladies, can I ask, how is your heart? What is really going on inside? By any chance, is there any spiritual signs of spiritual degeneration? Or is your heart right with God? Is your heart filled with God? Is your heart set upon God and upon his word? I trust that it is so. I trust that your heart is really fit to be the dwelling place of Christ. Will you allow the great physician to examine your heart and reveal to you where you need maybe to make apologies? You need to make restitution. That's not where it stopped with us. I could keep you here all day telling you what the Lord showed us. Those times I nearly regretted asking him. But I'll tell you, friends, it's only when you act upon what God is showing you that the blessing of God can come into your life. So if you want all that God has for you, friends, you need to be prepared to have your heart broken and wrenched in two. And you need to be prepared to go through with God no matter what the cost might be. Now, ladies, this is a very touchy subject that we're going to touch right now. The great physician examined our heart. But oh, that the great physician might examine our tongue. How often have you visited the doctor and he tells you to stick out your tongue? Now, if our children did that, we'd slap them over the ear, wouldn't we? We'd tell them it was rude, but that's what the doctor tells us to do. You see, the doctor can tell an awful lot by our tongue. If it's got a white coating on it, it means you've got a sick stomach. Maybe there's spots. You've got a septic throat. Mind you, if you had that, you wouldn't need a doctor to tell you. But as Christians, or should I say as listening Christians here this morning, you know, if we are listening Christians, we can tell an awful lot about a person by the way they use their tongue. I didn't go for breakfast this morning. Did you go for breakfast? Hands up. Yes. There's a lovely stream down there. Did you visit the stream? Did you lift a handful of dirt? And did you eat it? Or did you go to the dining room? Oh, it disgusts us to think what we might eat. But do you know what God's word says in Matthew 15 and 11? It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but it's that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth a man. Matthew 15 and 8 tells us, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. So we can safely say that our tongue reveals to those around us if we have got a heart problem. James has a lot to say about the tongue. In 3 and 10 it says, with the tongue you can bless or you can curse. Our tongue can be a fountain sending forth two kinds of water, you could say. I go up there to the back of that little sound room every morning and I get a bottle of water. It's always still water. I don't like the sparkling water. But dear Christians, if our tongues was a wee bit more like that still water, if our tongues was oftener more still than what it is, you know, our speech reveals who we really are. A wise person, a wise woman will seek only to produce good conversation. I would to God that we were more like this. You know, I've often heard, and I've done it myself. Oh, I just had to get it off my chest. It doesn't matter who you hurt in the process. And you know, we blabber our whole thoughts instead of keeping still and silent. God's word tells us a fool uttereth his whole heart. I speak my mind, you know. Well, cannibals are called man-eaters. They kill and they devour one another with the teeth. But you know, there's many ways of devouring each other. It can just as easily be done with the tongue as well as the teeth. There's far too much backbiting, far too much evil speaking, speaking spitefully of one another when the other's not present, uttering gossip and passing it on. Oh, I'm only speaking out of concern, you know. But did you hear about wee Mary? She's pregnant, not married. I'm only concerned. That's why I'm telling you. You'll pray for her now, won't you? Friends, can I say that the list is endless? I could go on. And being a lady, I know what we can be like. And it's only the pierced hands that can firmly control and wisely use the helms of our life, which is the tongue. Who steers yours today? What kind of conversation are you producing? Are you sowing discord amongst one another? Or, friends, is your speech fitting you for eternity? And is it the means of others following Christ? Oh, we need to allow the great physician to examine our tongues. And, ladies, we need, as he reveals to us our misuse, we need to learn to be still and to keep our mouth shut. The last part of the body that the great physician is going to examine, or we are going to allow him to examine, is our feet. You know, the feet can affect our whole body. My feet were tired last night. When I was standing up here before the meeting ended, I took a cramp in this foot. It was almost paralyzed and the pain went up my leg. It was just tiredness, you know. But our feet can affect our whole body. My youngest son, Greg, that some of you feel you know so well. I've had a lot of women telling me they've got a Greg in their family. Well, you know, you leave Greg with the Lord. Because the Lord will deal with Greg. And the Lord will bring him out on the other side. Greg's a podiatrist. He works from the hip bone down. He came out of the National Health because of the bad service that the patients were receiving. The podiatrist was under immense pressure to discharge patients that weren't ready or able to be discharged. And Greg's conscience just couldn't allow him to work like this. So he set up a wee business and he roped his mummy in to help him. It was supposed to be for 6 months, but I was there for 10 months. Near killed me. And boy, will I tell you, you would see some sights coming into that clinic. Crippled, twisted limbs. Corns, calluses, bunions, ingrown toenails, fungal infections, fallen arches, you name it, and we saw it. My sister bought me a foot spa. And I longed for my foot spa last night. It's a lovely, relaxing experience. And when my feet are weary, I could soak them for half an hour or more in that foot spa. Ladies, do you ever get tired feet? You know, professional dancers get tired feet. If you know any ballet dancers, have you ever watched them? I don't watch them, but I've seen them. But I don't watch them. But if you did watch a ballet dancer, they're constantly on the tips of their toes. Ballet. Are you with me? Are you understanding me? Give me an amen if you understand. Well, the ballet dancer, she gets up on her toes and, oh, she's so graceful. And she's so elegant, isn't she? But when she comes into the clinic, the nails of her toes are pushed up into her toes. And I'm telling you, it's sore. And many times as they dance, they're going through much pain. Much pain. And their injuries are great. But I wonder, what are your feet like? Do you want to get them out and show me? Are they tired? Tired from too much housework? From too much running to and fro? You know that saying, don't you? I was on my feet all day. Irish ladies, tired from too much shopping. We're only allowed 23 kgs. One of them had almost 24 coming over. And I don't know how we're going to get it all back. Maybe you've got bunions and corns. And if you have, I don't want to know about them. But ladies, are your feet really doing what God wants them to do? Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And yes, we might have to do housework and we might have to shop. We really have to shop. But are our feet really doing the most important of all? Are our feet going where God wants us to go, doing what God wants us to do? There's far too many in our land and they're running away from the will of God for their lives. Think of Jonah. He ran from the will of God and look where that got him. Ladies, is that where you want to end up? Will you keep on running and you don't know where the end's going to be? As God's children, we need to be ready to do his will. And we need to run in the way of his commands. We need swift feet to publish the gospel. It says in Isaiah 52 and 7, how beautiful are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that published peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that published salvation. You know, if we linger in going and doing for God, well then once again we can assess from our lack of foot movement that we have a heart problem. As Christians, we should have feet of stability. Because, ladies, he set our feet upon a rock. And the devil may try to shake and shift that rock, but praise the Lord, it's on Christ the solid rock I stand. Amen. We should always have feet of service. You know, there's many Christians, when they're challenged by God, they withdraw and they pull back. And God so longs for you to go to your neighbor. He so longs for you to go to that lady in church that you know that's not saved. And yet you withdraw and you pull back, and oh, I couldn't do it. I hope Hazel forgives me. We had, an I couldn't do it lady with us. And Hazel brokenly came to me in my hotel room, and she apologized, and she says, Esther, what God wants me to do, I'll do it. And she's given a 5-minute testimony this afternoon. Ladies, what's God asking you to do? What's He asking you to do today? What's holding you back? You know, there's a lot of God's people in our land, and they're standing still. And they aren't serving the Lord the way that they ought to be. And they feel that standing still is... There's times for us to stand still, don't get me wrong. Because the scripture says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But we're standing still and we're inactive. We're not even praying as we stand still. And if you're not moving forward, well, then we can only assess that you're going backwards. And you know, you'd never dream of walking backward in the physical, would you? You might do it for a wee joke, but you'll not walk too far. And yet there's many, and they're quite willing and happy to do so in the spiritual. And the times that God does ask us to stand still, it doesn't mean that we just stand gazing up at the stars. Beautiful night. But friends, those are times when we stand still and hold on in faith, trusting God to move. Amen. And there's times when we must defend the faith and not allow the devil to get the upper hand. And we are challenged by God to follow Him even in the midst of darkness, because God says in His word, I will dwell in the thick darkness. Amen. We went through darkness a couple of years ago in our last church. Our last year and a half was almost unbearable. There's 3 ladies here that only for them we'd have never got through those times. There's times when the hour was so dark that you just wanted to run away. But God was with us. And God brought us through, ladies. And I want to tell you something, and I didn't mean to tell you this now because this comes out in the pastor's wife session. If you're a pastor's wife, don't be a hindrance to your husband when there's darkness. You could be the very means of taking your husband out of the Lord's work. But let us trust and rely on the Lord. I wonder, what are you doing today? Where are your feet taking you? Is it in a straight path? Are you on the move for God? Movement means progress, which in turn, friends, leads to stability and service. Can I ask you, how is it with you? As the great physician has examined your heart, your tongue, and your feet, how have you passed the medical checkup that you have received at the hands of the Spirit of God? In what areas have you failed? Right at this moment, dear ladies, would you not bring your failings to Jesus? The one who can heal. Psalm 94 and 18 says, my foot slipped. Thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. Would you not throw yourself at his mercy? Would you not become a Christian who will be called worthy and who will hear the well done of God? Whilst there is yet time, would you not use it wisely? Make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure you've got a vibrant, loving relationship with him. Use your tongue and use your feet to serve him and to follow him all the days of your life. Friends, there's going to come a day when we will stand before our Maker. And I know I want to hear the well done of God. And I know that I want to cast my crowns before him and cry, worthy is the Lamb who is slain, to receive glory and honor and praise. And oh, we praise him in this life, but how much more so whenever we get to glory. So ladies, maybe after the meeting, sometimes we lose the spirit of a meeting. The minute Harold or whoever will come and say amen, the women just launch into chatter. I marvel at the click of the handbag and the closing of the zips and the glass cases get flicked and the chatter starts. And there's times I sit and my heart is so heavy and I wonder, do they not know that God is here? I believe God is here. I know that God's dealing with my heart and my life. And I need it. And I don't want to lose what God's saying to me. And I believe it would be good if you could just for a few moments find a quiet corner or even sit in the seat where you are. And lift up your heart unto God and open up your life to him. And allow him to do a new work. That when you leave this place and you go back out into that evil world that we live in, that others will see Jesus in me.